Hello and welcome to the June 6th edition of the Laughing Place podcast. My name is Doobie. Joining me today on this edition of the Laughing Podcast are the normal, happening, hip, and exciting crew and fanboy. Let's start with you, Rebecca.
Hey, everybody.
Captain John.
Ahoy there, mates.
And everyone's favorite fanboy.
Yay, me.
Woohoo! Podcast LaughingPlace.com, 867-189-408.
Thanks for taking me in the first round of the draft. The big Disney podcast draft. That was bad.
Yeah, I did have the last pick in the first round, though, so my options were somewhat limited.
You shouldn't have traded last year for Captain John.
That's okay. We got something working for next season, so don't get too comfortable.
I guess I'll go ahead and get that Tommy John surgery.
Oh, no, he invented it. Not him, but his doctor.
I have this idea for my arm. Picture it.
His doctor invented it.
Yeah, never mind, I'm not going to go there.
Nope,
but just,
you're not.
You know what I want to say, so just go insert the joke and laugh at your own expense. If you're tasteless, if you're tasteful, just ignore it.
For those of you who have no idea why they're obsessed with the draft, it's because it's happening right here at Disney's Wide World of Sports. The Milk House, right?
Yes, at the soon-to-be renamed. You know, they should have maybe thought about renaming it before they had the broadcast on ESPN2 today.
If you're a sports fan, you know that nothing is less exciting in your season than the draft. It sounds all cool until you actually try to sit down and watch it, and you realize it's mostly a bunch of nothing, followed by a name you've probably never heard of.
Yep.
And then in the hierarchy of drafts, the baseball draft is at the absolute bottom.
Yep. Remember when, a couple years ago when the Wide World Sports Complex was first starting and they had the lacrosse draft?
Please tell me you're joking.
I am joking.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
We went to the draft last year, though. That was fun.
It's fun. It's fun to be there because you get to see how stuff works, but it's actually a lot of nothing.
And one day, the Angels will have a draft pick somewhere before the third round.
Did we not have a pick early this year either?
No. Thank you, Torrey Hunter.
And yet we still have the best farm system in the league.
Well, you know, and the Tampa Bay Rays for the first time ever, have the first round pick, pick 2 years in a row.
I thought this was like Disney talk.
I just want to say that the first 3 minutes of the podcast is dedicated to you, T-Money, one of our listeners who has his own sports podcast. So we hope
never to invite these two.
And they're a half game back in the AL East.
Hopefully by tomorrow they will be a half game up in the AL East.
Yes. Can you believe the Rays were the national game on ESPN, which is Disney owned, so therefore it's still relevant?
Who has the best record in the American League?
That would be the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
They do. And it's funny because if you look at the standings, their run differential is like 9. Yet they have the best record in the league.
Enough sports talk.
Anyway, podcast11place.com. We just want to show the listeners out there that even though we're big Disney fans, I love parentheses, fanboy is fanboy, we are men and we like our sports.
Grr.
Okay.
And let us know what's on your mind regarding anything. So enough with the sports. Let's get back to Disney.
Universal
Studios had a fire.
That's not Disney either.
No, but it affects the world of theme parks, which affects the world of Disney. When Dubai Land opens, we're going there to check it out.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. But we are going to talk about the very sad fire at Universal Studios because...
Ho. Ho. Ho.
Because Kong is gone.
King Kong is gone. We've talked before on the show about King Kong, and for all of you who remember months ago when we promised to put up that Santa Kong video, you heard me right.
We finally
did it. Santa Kong. You thought the nightmare overlay for Haunted Mansion was a bit odd. How about a Santa Claus overlay for King Kong?
Yep, it was pretty unusual.
So it's up on the website now if you just go to laughingplace.com. And,
the saddest thing that happened this week next to Jake Austin's goat disappearing.
Yeah.
Did it disappear? I thought it died.
Well,
disappeared
it did.
And died.
Yeah, they found it dead. It was sad.
And the Hannah Montana accident on the set. It's been a rough week for everybody.
I didn't read about the Hannah Montana.
I saw extras got hurt.
Yep.
Okay.
So,
it's
a good thing they had extra.
Oh, that's sad.
Moving on.
Yeah. So, we heard about, when did this fire break? Sunday?
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. It was almost, this just doesn't happen. I mean, occasionally there'll be like an accident on an attraction, and that's surreal enough. But for an attraction to actually just disappear within the course of a day, or in the case of Universal, a decent part of the backlot tour plus King Kong.
And with no necessary source either. It's still kind of a mystery, isn't it?
The last I heard was there was some issue on the roof with welding, but...
That's the last we heard. But the thing that's really the thing that's really surprising about it is if you look at pictures, which westcoaster.net has some of the best coverage of the fire, They have pictures of the fire that Universal suffered back in the 90s. And if you look at what burned this time, it's virtually identical real estate that burned to the ground. Unfortunately, in this case, it was even more. They lost even more in that they lost the King Kong attraction, and then the film vault was damaged. I don't know if it's been declared a loss, but I know that there was quite a bit of damage to that structure. And they had gone through and done quite a bit of change to their fire suppression system following the 90s fire. And it'll be interesting to see what the investigation proves out, because there's been a lot of talk and a lot of reports, including those from West Coaster, who had a photographer there on the scene, that the firefighters actually, you know, had some issues with water pressure. And definitely, it'll be interesting to see if the Universal fire system, you know, actually made it more difficult than it should have been to fight the fire. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying it'll be interesting to see if it pours out. The thing that I got a little bit of a kind of a little snicker out of was that they actually ended up pumping water from the Jaws Lagoon, and that big lagoon at the top of the hill where they have the blue screen, that's where they had to bring in water from, and they did some copter drops and whatnot.
Did they release the flash flood? Did that help at all?
Well, they should have thought of that, huh?
Yeah.
We'll see. The parting of the Red Sea didn't really help much.
I was going to say, it's ironic because the fire trucks couldn't get through to the scene because it was flooded. And
they didn't know the magic words, part the waters.
And then Mikhail's Navy got all, it was just confusing.
Courthouse Square is gone.
No.
But the clock tower, I believe, is still there.
The clock tower remains. Have they considered 88 miles an hour and maybe trying to make this not happen? Have they thought about it, anybody now?
That was my first thought.
Yeah. Well, no, see, the Simpsons replaced it, so, you know.
Good point.
Yep, too little, too late, huh?
So it's a good thing they finished filming Chicken Little before this happened.
And numerous other films. I mean, anyone that's been on that tour and has seen that Courthouse Square once will forever be watching movies and going, there it is. Kind of like The Cabin, which did survive, I believe.
It's far away, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a ways away. But that's
the Psycho House.
The Uncle Buck Cabin. Okay, yeah. The Uncle Buck Cabin, which is in everything. You were watching Melrose Place this morning, and the Uncle Buck Cabin was in it, wasn't
yep.
it?
Yep.
Damn. Which is funny, because out of all the things it's in, it's the Uncle Buck Cabin.
That's what they talked about on the tour, when I used to take it anyway.
It's weird because, you know, it was big news here because obviously it affects one of the big employers in this area. And so you go to OrlandoSentinel.com, and there's Universal burning, and wait, Hollywood. But people don't understand that going on the tour, I probably went once a year for several years, you watch a movie and you just start – you could be the most serious movie and you just start giggling because you're like, hey, that's the – I think it was Princess Diaries 2. I'm like, I've been around that corner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, what was the other one? Scorpion King or Desperate Housewives. When I first saw that show, I was just
– oh, yeah,
it was
totally.
Like, Wisteria Lane or is it Residential Street?
Well, the weird thing for Disney fans to understand is Universal Studios Hollywood is a studio. And they actually do film stuff
like
there.
Disney MGM Studios.
Exactly.
But you know what this tells us, though, that Hollywood does burn.
Ooh, ouch. It's not that special a wood.
Yeah.
And I just remember 1990, the fire, the first fire. Mm-hmm. And so it's just – and then I remember Jaws on fire.
Unfortunately, it survived.
Yes.
And that was just an attraction overlay, not an actual
So is King Kong on fire a new attraction, or is that...
No, I don't think that's an attraction. Although we did hear...
I think King Kong moved out.
Although we did hear that they are encouraging their visitors to take pictures when they go through that part on the tram. They're encouraging it, which, you know, I thought was nice, because I kind of would have been torn. I'd be like, I'd want to take pictures, but yet I kind of feel bad taking pictures. So it's nice that they actually, you know, encourage you to kind of document the moment.
You know, this is going to – there's no way I could say this and it will come out right. But do you think they'll actually wind up filming a film where some disaster happened and use it as a set?
I bet it wouldn't surprise –
They did in the 90s. They would tell you that on the tour. This used to burn down. And as they were putting it out, we filmed it, and we added fire suppression so it would never happen again.
I remember when we would take the tour, even before that fire, they would always talk about some big fire that happened way back when, and how before they called the fire engines, they called the cameramen. I wonder if they did this time, too.
I'm sure all those kind of reports will come out in the next few weeks and months as the investigation into, you know, how it happened, why it happened, and how it won't happen again.
but will. And you know, we pass by that stupid fire station how many times? And they actually had to use
Engine 51, Engine 51. Oh, I love that show.
Here's on a serious note, though. Universal announced the Vision Plan, where they were going to sell off some of the backlot as residential and redo some of their sound stages. NBC was coming over from Burbank and all this other fun stuff. How does this play into it? Is this maybe an opportunity in a way in that they were planning on redoing? I mean, not saying that I'm not saying this was like an insurance fraud thing, but I'm just saying as they are trying to redevelop their backlot anyway.
Right.
You know, does this maybe, if they're planning on moving New York Street anyway, it's not as big of a deal since they were planning on rebuilding that whole area anyway.
It's like, well, it did the work for us.
Or if it may change some of their plans. No, you turned lemons into lemonade, honey.
I turned lemonade into orange juice.
Oh, okay.
And
you put a lot of sugar in it and some red dye.
And then also, how much, you know, maybe it restricts them. Maybe they, because they don't want to be the guys that didn't rebuild because of the fire. I mean, in Hollywood is very much still a town, and you have to affect the perception of you as a business in that town is very important.
In some of the early reports, they were saying that an attraction Cyclone had been damaged in the fire. And I wrote out to West Coaster to ask them, you know, you guys go all the time. I hardly ever make it out there. You know, what's this Cyclone ride? And they said, there's no Cyclone ride. So then I got to thinking about it. I'm wondering if he just said King Kong, but in, you know, kind of the hubbub and whatever, they didn't really catch what he was saying, and it ended up being Cyclone.
Could be.
Because they didn't mention King Kong in the report. Oh. So I'm wondering if maybe
he was confusing it with Universal Florida and Twister burned.
A backdraft.
Another Disney connection. A lot of the work for King Kong was done by Bob Gurr, Laughing Place columnist and Disney Imagineer and Disney legend now, too. But most importantly, Laughing Place columnist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's his claim to fame.
Monorail.
Gurrmobiles. LP columnist. Anyway, he did a lot of the work on King Kong. He did a couple articles for that on LP if you want to check out the archives. And I'm sure he is most proud in his career after being an LP columnist, Santa Kong.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
I was so glad. Sure. If this fire did one thing, getting you to put up that video.
I know, huh? Finally get Doobie into gear. Get that up there.
It was
that
good
was
to
awesome.
See it again.
I was telling everybody that I went into, I was passing by, oh, you got to go to laughingplace.com. They have the best video ever. Santa Kong.
Magnet wrote in about the video. He said that it was speechless. He didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Kind of came out as both. He was listening to see if he could hear me cracking up over it, but he couldn't make it out. Let me tell you, Magnet, you can't hear me, but if you pay close attention, you can see the shake of the camera, and that's me giggling. The ride vehicle wasn't moving, unfortunately, at that moment. It was me giggling. I was trying very hard not to be audible, but it did impact the filmography.
Did Universal upset the gods because they got bears in Florida?
I know.
Fires in Hollywood.
They've not been making headlines for the greatest stuff recently. Well, I feel
bad. That bear. I saw a picture. The bear was like boo-boo size. And apparently it's a Florida black bear or whatever, which has no record of ever attacking a human in all of recorded history. He just went for a dip in the Hard Rock pool. That's a poor bear swim.
It's one determined bear, though. It's not like Universal is right by, you know.
It's got some, I don't know. I see
Turkey
bears all
Lake.
The time.
Well, no, you don't. Turkey Lake.
So, but then Universal, maybe to offset interest in the fire, announced their brand new attraction for next year.
What?
Creature from the Black Lagoon, the musical.
What?
Have you not heard this?
No. What are you talking about?
They announced 2009, Creature from the Black Lagoon, the musical.
Tell us about it, fanboy.
Well, it's opening in the spring of 2009 at the former Dracula, former Conan, former...
Conan.
Man of 1,000 Faces, or 10,000 Faces, or something like that.
Spider-Man Rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Beetlejuice.
You know,
there.
A guy could come out on stage. Never mind, go ahead.
Fear Factor Live, most recently. It's going to be a musical, a comedy, a mixture of outrageous, strangely romantic, frequently melodic, and often hilarious adventure. At first everyone checked to make sure that it wasn't April 1st when they read the press release, but it is going to be apparently romantic. In fact, if you look at the poster, he's holding the girl, and he has his thumb up.
Normally I would say Universal has jumped the shark yet again, but This is the same company that brought us Disaster, and I think they are actually just...
and Spider-Man rocks.
Oh, wow.
Are you ready for the tagline?
Sure.
Gil meets girl. Was it love or was it lunch? Dun, dun, dun.
I think it's cool that Universal has just gone campy, totally campy. And I think when they've done it so far, it's been working. So mm-hmm.
And there, like there's a song from it. In the big black lagoon,
I'm going to go explore.
Munch.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're going to, you know, because the Black Lagoon is there right next to the Red Sea and the little lake from McHale's Navy. Maybe they'll, like, film new scenes or something.
Oh, is that what they say? They filmed that there?
Yeah, and the one, the kind of on the left where it looks like a little.
I know, because they film large portions of it out at the Arboretum out in, Rosemead, Altadena area.
I got to be honest. I love Disneyland, and obviously I don't want to see any catastrophe strike any place, but...
Except Kings Canyon.
In more ways than one. Yep. But it really, really makes me sad to have this fire at Universal Studios. I have such vivid memories of that backlot tour. I mean, if the Beetlejuice Theater had burned down or something, that'd be different. But to know that part of that backlot is gone, it's sad.
You know, any movie history, you know?
Yeah, who cares about it? I'm talking about my history. This is what counts.
I agree. Probably the attraction closure that hurt me the most ever was the Smithy Bridge. Knowing that there's a point where it's there and it needs to stay there, no matter what happens. And the fact when they close that, I nearly shed a tear.
It's funny because I thought of that the other day when we were on the safari. When we were at Kilimanjaro, I was like, oh, it almost makes up for the fact that Universal's bridge has been gone for all these years. Almost. So it was kind of that I had a Universal flashback. But yeah, I liked that part. It was so different. It wasn't as whimsical and fanciful as Disneyland, and yet it wasn't as dry as a museum. And so it was a fun place. I enjoyed it for that reason, because it was like in between. It was like edutainment. Disney. It was like edutainment.
Newsland.
Edutainment. Remember that when that was the buzzword?
Yep, I remember.
So long, Universal backlot part of the tour, we hardly knew ye.
And we look forward to your return.
You know,
and the new attraction. Oh, by the way, that's what they're doing. They're bringing in a new attraction for Kong. They're not bringing back Kong.
I hope they rebuild it bigger.
I hope
faster,
they have a Christmas overlay for it.
That would be awesome if they could make sure that whatever it is. I wonder if it'll...
what was Universal's
big movie
this year? Is
there anything here that they could bring there that they haven't, you know, done.
Disaster.
Well, they have Earthquake, though.
<Earthquake.
so. laughs>
It's totally different.
No.
Totally. It Simpsons is totally there already.
Yes.
E.T. King Kong, which we kind of replaced.
Twister is not there, right?
No, they have Backdraft.
They have Backdraft.
Totally different.
Far Superior.
Yeah, so totally different. Far Superior.
Their big movie this year was Baby Mama. So maybe it'd be Santa Baby Mama. Wow, Universal's not having a good year.
Nope.
Pirates Who Don't Do Anything, a VeggieTales movie, but they were just a distributor. And not like that did great best box office. Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. Exactly. Definitely Maybe. Sure.
Probably not.
Leatherheads.
It starred the guy from The Office. It had to be good.
Did you see it?
It starred the guy from ER. It couldn't have been good.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Which,
who?
Yeah. And Baby Mama. Wow.
Is that really their slate this year?
So far. They have some stuff coming up later.
What's their blockbuster this year?
Isn't The Mummy a Universal thing, or is it not?
Yeah, well, Mummy, but that's August, so how big of a blockbuster can it be? I guess their big blockbuster is The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they could make an attraction based on that.
Can you imagine
maybe
it'd
like
be
a
like
huge
the huge
poster.
Hulk? Well, what if they had Hulk instead of, like, King Kong doing stuff to your tram?
Oh, don't make
cool.
me celebrate Christmas. You won't like me during Christmas.
Okay, can we get back to, like,
David
Disney,
Banner
actually, Disney?
Yeah, Rebecca, so...
David Banner?
What's his name? Bruce Banner?
Yep.
Who's David?
David Banner was when they replaced his name in the TV series.
His name was David Banner.
Bruce Banner.
I had no idea. Who played him? Bill Bixby.
Yeah.
Who's David, in my mind?
David.
Anyway.
No, David Banner was what they called him in the TV series because they thought Bruce was a little too...
Oh, okay. So that's why I know David
odd
Banner.
Odd name.
Yes.
It was a shark. It was taken.
He's already on fire.
So, Rebecca, we got some reader mail on our next topic, which is the podcast crew is going to do Disney World in a day, or
reader
at least some representative attractions. So the one I just handed you, I like that as a representation of what we're looking for, and then we'll talk about it some more. So, please.
Okay. This email is from Dwayne and Hope, and up until the last sentence, I thought this was going to be a really good email, you'll understand.
Hey,
LPP, I found your podcast about 6 months ago and have been enjoying it ever since. This is our idea for the best of the Walt Disney World parks. This might be tough during the busiest season. So here's their suggestions. Start at Animal Kingdom, typically the earliest opening park.
Not the zoo.
This is also the easiest to pick three attractions from to get a flavor of the park. So you ride Expedition Everest, you head over to Kilimanjaro Safari, and then you finish at the Festival of the Lion King. Then you go over to the Magic Kingdom, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, and the third choice on the list of at the Magic Kingdom, not only because it is a great ride, but it's also its location is good for this challenge, and that's the Haunted Mansion.
I didn't know Fred Flintstone was on Splash Mountain.
Just a few months ago, this wouldn't have made our list, but due to the recent refurb, it's better than ever.
Yep.
I now think it's better than Disneyland's Nightmare Before Christmas incarnation.
Yep.
Sorry, Captain, Pirates just missed the cut.
Yep.
The Disneyland version is better anyway.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope. The next stop is MGM, Hollywood Studios.
Ding.
The Hollywood Tower of Terror.
Easy choice.
Is possibly the best themed attraction in all of Walt Disney World. So you'll probably need to get a fast pass for this one.
Not possibly. Definitely.
Then you'll head over to the Great Movie Ride because it's the centerpiece of the park.
Do you think someday they'll rename that the Mediocre Movie Ride?
And Hollywood Studios is
the
is in large part.
Only the alien segment.
A tribute to all movies, but mostly none that are Disney.
Didn't they say that?
No.
Oh, man.
Sorry, that was my little comment.
We got to hire them.
Hollywood Studios is in large part all about the shows, so you can pick your favorite, but they suggest Beauty and the Beast. Then, ending your day, you'll head over to Epcot, and you'll go on Soarin', which could prove quite difficult late in the day.
There goes your day.
And they also feel it fits more seamlessly in California Adventure, you know, the whole Soarin' over California
thing. Yeah, I could see that.
So perhaps you could pick Test Track. Good ride, decent pre-show, single rider line.
Give it an 89.
Next would come Spaceship Earth. Everyone is drawn to the big golf ball. And the best way to finish off any tiring Disney day is Illuminations. Again, just our opinion, but this is the best nighttime show ever. I know it's a tough challenge, maybe one that would require the off-season to do it all, but I know you're up to it. And here comes the unfortunate moment where people have no idea what they're talking
the
about.
The reason why I had Rebecca read this email.
And by the way, Doobie's right. I'll Try is a great Disney movie song.
Thank you so much for writing the Last Place podcast.
No.
We appreciate it.
No.
All right. So who was that? That was Dwayne and Hope?
Yep.
Wow. I'm terrible with names.
I know. I'm impressed.
Dude, thank you. Good night. So thank you, Dwayne and Hope, for that. We also got a ton of response on this on the board. So I have taken the time to tabulate everyone's answers and just keep a count by park. And some of this kind of surprised me. So I'm curious, guys. Remember, this is by park. I'm curious if you guys can guess what the top vote getter was for each park.
Kilimanjaro Safari.
Let's start with the Magic Kingdom. Why don't you guys take a guess?
Not Kilimanjaro Safari.
Captain, what would your guess be for the top vote getter at the Magic Kingdom?
Haunted Mansion.
I mean, vote getter is the wrong word, but was on the most list.
Haunted Mansion.
Fanboy?
Haunted Mansion.
Rebecca?
Big Thunder Mountain.
Haunted Mansion is the answer.
Oh, well, good job, boys.
Point Fanboy, point Captain John.
With 9. It was on 9 lists. Big Thunder was only on 4.
Oh, well.
How about Epcot? Rebecca?
Epcot? Spaceship Earth.
Captain?
Soarin'.
Fanboy?
Spaceship Earth.
Spaceship Earth with 12. Soarin' only had 9.
Point Fanboy, Rebecca. I'm winning with 2.
All right, how about Disney's MGM, Hollywood Studios?
Tower of Terror.
Fanboy?
I'm torn. I'm going to go with Great Movie Ride.
Rebecca.
Tower of Terror.
It was very close. Tower of Terror had 12 votes. The Mediocre Movie Ride had 13.
Oh!
Point Fanboy.
Fanboy pulling ahead.
And the only one that had a tie, Disney's Animal Kingdom. Let's start with you this time, Fanboy. Name them both.
Kilimanjaro Safari and Expedition Everest.
Kilimanjaro and Dinosaur.
Kilimanjaro and Lion King.
Ah. That was my second choice.
Expedition Everest and Kilimanjaro.
Seriously? Wow.
Dun, 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 dun.
Bad boy dominated. Showing that he truly does have his finger on the pulse of the fan base. Okay, maybe not really, but you know.
Dead, Jim. So, guys, we have to make some decisions here on what we're going to do. Let's start with the Magic Kingdom and see if we can actually figure out what we're going to remember. We don't care about how hard this is going to be. We can do it. Our only goal is to find the three premier attractions, the three quintessential attractions for each park. So the top vote getters of the Magic Kingdom were Mansion with 9, Pirates with 6, Splash with 6, Space with 4, Peter Pan with 4, and Big Thunder with 4. What three of those do you think really belong there? I think Mansion obviously does.
Yes.
Pirates does.
I would say Pirates does. And I think Peter Pan, because it's a dark ride, but then you don't have a thrill ride. So maybe Splash, Space, or Big Thunder? What do you think?
I think Space Mountain would have to go into that one.
It's funny because...
Oh, I forgot you guys all think Mansion and Pirates is a dark ride anyway.
Well, but that's what I was thinking. I think you almost need to not... I think you need to pick between those two. I think in some ways they kind of represent the same type of Disney attraction entertainment.
I understand. I can perceive that. I can understand that, but I think since they are so... They're similar, but because they are so Disney, they essentially are the most quintessential Disneyland Magic Kingdom attractions.
Agreed.
You really, while they're similar and they were built at the same time originally, and obviously you know built within a year at second at the Magic Kingdom, I still got to go with that. I mean, I debated that forever, but you know, if you think about it, Disneyland, they're both in the same land, but.
Right.
That you just got to go that way.
What would your third one be, Fanboy?
I'd go with Splash.
What would your three be, Captain?
The three...
Mansion Pirates, I think you said.
And Space Mountain, I'd say.
And you would go...
That's funny. I'm Mansion Pirates and Big Thunder.
Oh.
Oh, I mean, I get to break the tie here.
Because mm-hmm. I think the thrill, I think you guys are right. Since we're in the audience where there's the possibility of a thrill, I think to go experience a thrill is a good call. I can understand the choice of Space Mountain because in many ways it's kind of like the Magic Kingdom Disney coaster.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
what
I was thinking.
The burst, the, you know.
Like you always hear Space Mountain, Space Mountain. That's like the coaster.
I remember my grandparents, seriously, I mean, and they were my grandparents and they were, you know, grandparents. they went on that when they came here. My grandfather didn't get as much fun out of it as my grandmother, but when they came to Disney World, they did not leave without, you know, hitting Space Mountain. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm beginning to think that I would go along with the captain.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go with Space.
I'll go with Space. I was going to go with Big Thunder, but the more I think about it, when you're coming across, whether it's the monorail or Seven Seas Lagoon, I mean, it's there.
It's right there.
It's huge.
It's also nice to get something on the east side of the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. All right. Mansion, Pirates, and Space. That'll be fun. Piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
Epcot. Top vote getters were Spaceship Earth 12, Soarin' 9, American Adventure 6, Mission Space 4, Test Track 4, Illuminations 3, which obviously only works if you finish at Epcot. So, what do you guys think? Spaceship Earth, we think we agree you have to do Spaceship
right.
Earth.
Right.
Yes.
Even though Soarin' got 9, in my opinion, Soarin' is not a quintessential Epcot attraction.
Yeah, I was going to say
it's too new. It's
not
California.
Even from,
it's not even new, but it's it's an extension, and
it's a great attraction. It's one of the greatest attractions in Disney World, in my opinion. But it doesn't, to me, say Epcot.
See, I think you need to go for American Adventure over that because you need something that has a World Showcase.
Yes,
right.
And it's the quintessential World Showcase attraction. And that's the host pavilion.
So I would agree. Spaceship Earth, American Adventure. I think we all agree those are the two you got to hit.
So what's the third one?
You go with the next two vote getters after Soarin' were Mission Space and Test Track, both thrill attractions. Do you think that works? Or if you want to go even lower than that, the Nemo ride was the only other multiple vote getter.
I wouldn't go. I would go probably. I would go with Test Track. I think Mission Space is. It's not. It's never really absorbed itself into Epcot culture, but I think Test Track has.
Test Track to me is the perfect Epcot thrill attraction because it's also Epcot. It's educational, at least.
It's edutainment.
It's edutainment while still being quite thrilling. And with the intricate queue mm-hmm. that teaches you something and the extensive post show, even though part of it's behind walls right now.
It's definitely something to get
it sells you a car.
Overall, the overall flair of the place is we're going for the you know, a taste of Epcot, as it were.
And the computing power on every one of those cars.
It's hard not to pick Universe of Energy. Because
oh, no, it's not.
No, because the ride system there.
I see what you're saying. No, I believe that. That was not on anyone's list.
Because, and I understand why not, because with all the other, with Soarin' and all the other attractions, it's not, you know, the same. But, thinking about my trips here, that was one of the that was one of those rides where I was like, wow. That was like, you know, Walt Disney World does it bigger.
See, if anything, I would. What did we come down to? Spaceship Earth,
American Adventure. Test Track.
If anything, I'd swap out, you know, American Adventure with the Universe of Energy if you were to pick the Universe of Energy, because I think Epcot is getting a little bit more focused on thrilling stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think to kind of get the overall feel for the place, you have to incorporate a thrill attraction.
I just think, because we're doing if we wanted to go, let's try and recreate the 1982 experience, I'd go with Universe of Energy. But since Epcot has evolved and we're doing Epcot today, I think it's so much of a legacy attraction. I mean, and it's a neat attraction, but it hasn't upgraded with the times as the other pavilions hopefully have.
As I said, no one said Universe of Energy, so
right,
it never even
totally
entered my mind. But looking at the list now, I think that would be number four for me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have it replace one of these three, but it's so original. It's so Epcot. That ride system just blew me away the first time, and I knew it was coming, and it still blew me away.
Why don't we just go on Great Movie Ride?
It's smaller.
Yeah.
It's almost small enough to be a dark ride, but not quite.
It's a bar.
But, and it also, I think the pre-show hurts it for me in that
it's just a
film, and
no,
then there's no post-show.
Right.
So it keeps it from being Epcot the way Epcot's supposed to be, but it's cool. It's got dinosaurs. Come on.
No, I agree with your list. I agree with you the list.
All right. Heading over to the studios, as we call it here in Central Florida. Great Movie Ride. 13, Tower of Terror 12, Rock and Roller Coaster 3, Indy 2, Mermaid 2. So it seems pretty clear that the people think the two you got to do are Great Movie Ride and Tower of Terror. We agree on those?
I'd agree.
Even though not necessarily everyone here is going to do them.
Right. No, yeah. I'd agree.
Yeah.
What's third there? One person said you got to do a show.
I would say yes, but I don't know what
if I were
good,
to,
decent shows are live.
If I were to pick a show, it would be the Indiana Jones Dunce Spectacular.
Yeah, I'd probably go with that. Although, you know, it's funny because if you asked me 6 years ago, 7 years ago, what I thought, I would be like, well, duh, the Backlot Tour. But now that's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and no one said, Toy Story Mania.
But once again, that would fall into the place of it hasn't really.
Yeah,
I understand.
To be honest, this was done before hardly anyone.
Right, but I think.
No, but I agree with you
my
now.
My point being is that going to be. Is that going to be an attraction that defines the park? Like Tower of Terror changed the definition of the park.
I would be surprised, but
yeah.
Who knows?
Oh, see,
I would
it's funny. If I was trying to define to somebody, if you told me, define to this family who's coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios what that park is based on the description of three attractions. So you have three attractions,
right,
and that should give them the flavor, so that way they know whether or not they want to go there. I would describe Tower of Terror. I would describe Toy Story Mania.
Really?
And I would describe the High School Musical. Because that, to me, now is becoming what the park is. You can't really get in that park anymore without those hitting you in the face, almost.
Well, yeah, you can't really avoid High School Musical.
And if it's not High School Musical, it's the Block Party Bash.
Block Party Bash, yeah.
The attraction's getting, like you said, Rock and Roller Coaster got three. There are four that got two. The indie show, One Man's Dream, for, you know, obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Star Tours, which I think... It's a really good one.
Oh, wow. I totally always forget that's there.
And The Little Mermaid.
Wait till next week.
And The Little Mermaid, which I really like because it's unique.
Different.
It's a show of sorts. It's obviously based on a movie. And I don't know. I remember my first trip to Disney World back in 1997. I left Disney World thinking the attraction that I liked the most, period, was The Little Mermaid. So I think that would be number three on my list, The Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid?
I still go with Indy.
Yeah, I still stand by old Indy Jones.
Yeah, no. I'd go with Indy 2, but I don't know.
Indy 2, Temple of Doom?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're a dictatorship here, so no.
No, I think I would go with Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of it's that when they changed the Little Mermaid show, is I think it lost something.
I would agree. It's not what it once was, in period, just by count. All right, so for the studios, we'll do Great Movie Ride, Tower of Terror, and Indy. And lastly, Disney's Animal Kingdom. I like what Sun and Fun said. I was only thinking rides. Thus, the Lion King would be a must because they had given another one where they left that out. And they do that instead of Dinosaur. And the trails. And he says, at DAC, it's hard for me to only choose three. That's why it is at least a two-day park for my family, which is good to hear because a lot of people think of DAC as that half-day park. But I agree. DAC is, to really do it right, takes quite a while. So the two top is Fanboy, so eloquently got earlier. Eloquently, that makes no sense. Everest and Kilimanjaro Safari. And the number three was Lion King. And then Dinosaur, Tough to Be a Bug. Bubbling Under were the Nemo Show and one of the trails.
So the trails count.
One person even said Cali River Rapids.
So the trails count? Okay.
One really hot person that needs to get cooled off.
Yeah, Pangini got two and Maharaja got one. So Everest and Kilimanjaro, we agree on that one?
Yeah.
What's third in Animal Kingdom?
Oh, wait, what were the...
Kilimanjaro and Everest. Oh, the top two.
And then the next vote getter was Lion King.
See, it's funny. If I were to pick, I would say Kilimanjaro, Maharaja, and the Festival of the Lion King, I think, as the flavor of the park.
If you include the trails, can you do Animal Kingdom and not include an attraction that's pretty strictly, well, I guess Kilimanjaro. So never mind. Pretend like Doobie's not speaking.
I guess that's an interesting question, is the trails. I love the trails. It's one of my favorite things about Animal Kingdom.
Yep.
But do you put that ahead of Everest or Festival of the Lion King in a must-do way? I don't think so, because you're going to see animals, not necessarily the same and not necessarily in a better way, but in a more integral way on the Kilimanjaro.
I wouldn't put it. You know what I would do? I wouldn't put Lion King on the list. I would do Everest, Kilimanjaro, and Dinosaur, because you have this interesting thing. You have the past, the present, and the mythical.
And I thought about that too, but then I'm thinking, but because Festival of Lion King is the highest rated show at Walt Disney World, is that something that you kind of have to do, or do you try and go more of the theme side of it? Because I could see the
festival is good. It's really good, but to me, it's not so good that it's a gotta do over something like Dinosaur, which, yeah, it's not quite indie, but if you've never done indie, it's one of the most amazing attractions out there.
I agree, and that's why I'm torn. It would be Everest, Kilimanjaro, and then either Festival of the Lion King or Dinosaur for me.
So where does that leave us right now?
I think we pretty much agree on Everest and Kilimanjaro Safari, I think.
So
is it Lion King or is it Dinosaur?
My vote goes for Lion King.
Or is it a trail? Or is it the Nemo Show, which I
just like the trailer?
Or the trail?
It's funny because so many of the rides that we're talking about and whatnot for as like definitive are rides I won't even go on because they make me ill or because of the motion or whatever. They're not like the whole family entertainment. It's just, I just find that an interesting
we have
fact. Tower of Terror.
One, Space Mountain
Test
at
Track,
Magic Kingdom.
Test Track, Space Mountain.
One at each park.
Yeah. It's just
so one thrill ride in each park, I think that's...
Right.
That's interesting. But at DAC, you're talking two.
If we were to have Dinosaur, which is a good reason, in my opinion, not to
have
Dinosaur.
That's what I'm wondering. We should leave it where kind of something that's kind of realistic to what a family...
Everest, Safari, and the Nemo Show.
Because you'd split up
well,
for one ride. But
if it's realistic for a family, do you think that Everest is necessarily better over Dinosaur?
Yeah, because you... Oh, okay.
In that case... I mean,
to me, it's such an icon of the park at this point. And Dinosaur, right. I mean, I love Dinosaur. I mean, I like Indy better, but I really enjoy Dinosaur. I think it's underrated in the fan community. And, because listening to real guests talk about it, they seem to enjoy it. But
we're fake now, is what you're saying?
No, I just think so many people put it compared to Indy, and not mm-hmm. fair. I mean, that's might be fair from a criticism standpoint, from a guest experience. Not many people go on that and be like, "Wow, it's just like Indiana Jones, except worse." They don't right. go. That track was identical. They just don't feel that.
Plus, Everest, as cool as it is, to me, is not as unique a Disney experience as Dinosaur is. I think if I came down to it, I'd pick Dinosaur over Everest.
Wow.
I agree. It's underrated. Wow. It's so unique, which is a phrase I hate, and. I keep going back to indie, and it's not indie, but it is good. It's dinosaurs. It's cool.
It's got that immersive
cue. Everest is a coaster.
That's the thing. That's the thing, though, that because it is similar as much to another attraction, do you think that would mean that Everest is actually more Animal Kingdom specific than
Dinosaur?
No,
because we didn't use that to exclude Haunted Mansion and Pirates.
True.
But also, it's... And that's what's – if Everest was just in a show building in the back someplace, I would agree with you 100%. I'm just saying because it's something that you see. It's a magnet. In the
like
same way we
Spaceship
use Space
Earth.
Mountain or mm-hmm. Spaceship Earth. It's you know,
you
if
it,
it's
you
tough to be a bug
it.
Wasn't just really kind of old and boring, you'd have to include what was in the Tree of Life. But since it's not doesn't really it's not essential to the story of the park, you don't. But to not have anything that's the icon of the park.
So we definitely have Killy and Safari and Lion King. The question is it Dinosaur Everest? Do we agree on that?
Yeah, I think I would go
I
with
think
that.
So.
Okay,
yeah. So
Captain, what do you say?
I go with Everest.
Fanboy?
I haven't made up my mind yet. Rebecca?
Because of its weenie nature, I'm going to go with Everest. Because dinosaurs so easily hidden and overlooked.
I would go with... Oh, man, that's, you guys make a good point with the weenie.
In the end.
We'll come back to that one. This was fun. What's next?
So when are we doing this?
Who knows?
Oh, we have to decide.
July 4th.
You have to... no.
I'm kidding.
Another thing you have to do is you have to figure out what part, what the order is.
Yeah,
we'll do that once we finalize what attractions there
figure
are.
Figure out where we're going to mini golf in there and go to Typhoon Lagoon. We're working on it.
Typhoon
I'm kidding.
Lagoon.
I'm kidding.
The central attraction will be the locker room, the towel rental,
and the exit.
Shark Reef.
So, somebody named Dave, who also so rudely interrupted me with a phone call a few minutes ago, wrote in the discussion board.
Oh, poor Dave.
last week we were talking about something or other, and it got us talking about cues a little bit. And Dave writes, how could you guys forget about Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin? And an honorable mention, even though it's not an attraction to it's tough to be a bug. Did we forget about Roger Rabbit? Is Roger Rabbit one of the best cues Disney's ever created?
Yeah.
Yeah. For compare attraction scope to queue line, it's one of the best.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
What about Tough to Be a Bug? I'm guessing he's talking DCA because I know where Dave lives.
Yeah, DCA has more of an interesting queue, I'd say, than Animal Kingdom does, being that Animal Kingdom, I think, is just walking around plants.
It's Tough to Be a Bug. You're walking like around the tree and you get to see the sculptures real close.
But that's not exclusive to the queue, though. It's not like they built the tree for the queue.
It's part of the experience.
I guess.
I think the queue is deliberately built in a way so that you get a great view of the Tree of Life. It's like you're walking underneath.
But yet
it.
California Adventure has a kind of cool set recreation, so it's like you're walking into the movie.
Yeah, but it's so out of scale there, too, though, with the big show building that you can see.
Bottom line, forgetting, not even taking scope into account, but just strictly looking at the queue itself. Captain, what is the best Disney queue, in your opinion, in all of North America?
You know, it's tough because there's just so many. Like, I would say Indiana Jones at first. I would even say Pirates of the Caribbean, Florida, because California doesn't really have much of a queue.
It's got a stairwell that you go underneath.
Although, I got to admit, though, the one cool thing about the Pirates queue in California is the boat in the building thing. I mean, it's such an odd design choice that it actually makes it quite interesting. You know, you enter the building and all of a sudden there's just boats there.
That's a good point.
It's just very odd.
That's why I don't like that ride.
But it kind of adds to the cool factor, though. You kind of go back up, and it's like you're in the queue, but you're on the ride at the same time.
Do you have a favorite, Fanboy?
Indy.
Indy. Rebecca, do you have a favorite?
No, I can't think of any.
Yeah. I was, of course, talking about the queue line for the Indiana Jones Epic Sense.
Yeah, I do that. I think my favorite...
Don't sit on the rope.
I like Star Tours. I like Indy, but...
Star Tours is a good one, yeah.
Lights, Motors, Action, because you get to see them working on the cars. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
And you hear that song over and over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah,
and
I'm not a big fan of cues, so therefore.
I much prefer P's.
I can't really think of my favorite.
Think about a cue. It's so dependent. It can't stand on its own. It needs that you all the time.
It needs me and everyone else in harmony.
You know, my favorite cue, Adventures Through Inner Space.
That's the scariest queue of all time.
I think I would still go wait in that queue, even though it's not, I mean, that... When
you still can.
But no, when you think about the reality of what you're waiting for, how simplistic that was when push comes to shove, I think if you were to tell me that attraction's somehow, you know, here, and you have to wait for it, I'd be like, okay.
But...
Because there was something very odd about that queue. I just found
shrinking
it
people?
Mesmerizing.
I'm going to one-up this, though. What about, not counting the queue itself, but what is, like, your... best queue experience that you've had?
Do you mean who you were hanging out with?
Like, say if there's a grand opening or something and you just kind of have this aura from the people in the queue.
Oh, see, I love to wait for Fantasmic, whether it's here or California.
There was the time I was in Matterhorn and I told Rebecca I loved her for the first time.
Oh, I remember that. That was sweet. Full moon, Matterhorn. It's pretty.
And then there was the time I was in Matterhorn and you gave a cast member socks.
Yeah, well, his feet were cold, and I had an extra pair in my bag.
He wasn't working at the time, by the way.
There was a time I was in the Winnie the Pooh queue, and I laughed because someone asked a greeter, where does Pooh come out?
That is always good when people ask that question. I have talked to several cast members who have shared that particular guest query. I know that Doobie and John from the Disney blog often talked about the fun they had waiting for Vision 3D when they came out here back in the day.
That's the best pre-show.
If you count the pre-show as a part of the queue, then that is the best.
Definitely the most quotable.
Welcome to my blog.
So, yeah.
How you doing?
Remember, pushing and shoving is distinctly...
Oh, wow. That was my second best experience after my first trip to Disney World. Anyway, we have reader mail. He writes, hey, LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Actually, he writes, yeah, we know you. I am new to the community, and my name is Ansemnus. Who is who, fanboy?
Well, Ansem is a villain from Kingdom Hearts series. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. I don't know.
On the discussion board, I have been seeing many rumors and talk about mini parades shifting to different parks around the internet. Wow. So what's it going to go from, like, VMK over to the Pirates
VMK.
Ride? I don't think that's what he means, but that's how it sounds. These rumors include, one, MSEP, Main Street Electrical Parade, moving to Disneyland's Magic Kingdom, with Tinkerbell replacing the Blue Fairy.
Ooh.
I don't like the sound of that. Oompa. That's what he says. Oh, I had the oompa, but he said, I don't like the sound of that. Number two.
We've got a number two for you.
Compo Spectra Magic moving
and
from...
It came out right over there by the Mile Long Bar.
Spectra Magic moving from Disney World's Magic Kingdom to either Disneyland Paris or California Adventure. Number three, Fantillusion from Disneyland Paris coming to Disney World to the Magic Kingdom. And number four, Disney's Parade of Dreams moving to Disney World. You know, if they actually drove it instead of, like, trucking it or something, it could take a long time. That's one slow parade.
Especially if they did all the show stops.
All four are supposedly happening by 2010 with a goal of 29. Probably not pronounced that way. Do any of you guys know of parade shifting in the works involving these parades? Boy, I hope not.
Well,
because
rumor number four has been around for a while now.
Yeah. That's just sad. If what they decide to do is just rotate parades.
It has its advantages.
For
I mean,
them,
obviously. Well, yeah.
I'm thinking about the guest.
Well, the guest doesn't care. In many cases, they probably haven't seen the parade.
In many cases, they have. No, it's just... You want a new parade. It's not like it's an attraction where it takes a long time. I mean, not that parades don't take a long time and aren't expensive, but they're going to play for 3 years in one place anyway. You don't extend them beyond that. Do something new for the new park. I've seen Parade of Dreams. I want to be excited about
that.
See,
if it was a parade you liked, would you feel the same way?
No, if they were telling me they were bringing Eureka to Disney's Hollywood Studios, I wouldn't be thrilled about that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Do you care about
that? Because if they told me tomorrow they were bringing the Lion King celebration to Disneyland, to Magic Kingdom, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I'd be thrilled about that too, but I'd be thrilled despite the fact it's...
You just like things.
You kind of feel, icky about it. It's like, you don't really want
to
agree with it, but yet you like it.
I would go enjoy it, and then I would go take a shower.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of thing. You know what, to be honest... Well, it's human in Florida. To be honest, I don't care if they move stuff to and from the international parks. Maybe that's just because I don't get to those parks, but I think there are far, far fewer people who get to the international parks and the local parks than just go to the North American parks. So
I'd agree with that.
If we get something from Paris and something to Paris, Tokyo, who cares? But shifting back and forth between California and here, that doesn't excite me too much.
I can understand that. So let's see. So what do you think about...
And that Main Street Electrical Parade...
What do you think about Tinkerbell replacing the Blue Fairy?
Kill it.
Hey.
Not Tinkerbell. Or
you don't believe in fairies.
Don't tell Tinkerbell or the Blue Fairy. I'm sorry. Did the words 1972 mean anything to you?
Do you remember how empty Main
Have
Street was?
Have you ever
was?
Been in Magic Kingdom?
No, but it's funny. When they announced Main Street Electrical Parade was going glowing away, all of a sudden everybody and their dog came out to see it. Before then, you could show up shortly before parade time.
And that's
and
my favorite
nice
crowd
spot.
Experience.
Was
not
that the
being
beginning?
Able to move.
That's right.
We remember we went up onto the to where the train station. We just looked down, and I mean, you haven't seen that many people in one place in Disneyland.
Let's not also forget that the Main Street Electrical Parade might have premiered in 1972 and still be chugging on, but The Electrical Water Pageant premiered in 1971.
Okay. But it's free?
And that's not the an attraction exactly.
Right.
You
that's
know,
a
it's
pleasant
just, it's
surprise.
Just there. Yeah.
I understand, that's but like would they kill us to upgrade it? That's all I'm saying.
They better not ever touch that thing. If I can't go to Disney World here walking the dinosaur every single day of the year, something is wrong.
Dude, but not even just walking the dinosaur, but walking the dinosaur as performed on a 1971 synthesizer.
Do that too well. That's disturbing. That is way disturbing.
That is so cool.
Here's my thing with the electrical parade. I've seen the electrical parade at the Magic Kingdom before.
Yep.
And there's something less magical about the parade in any place other than Disneyland. Because at Magic Kingdom, the scale of the buildings is different.
It'll be tiny.
And at Disney's California Adventure, the scale of the parade corridor is different.
It's tiny.
It's wider. I mean, it's a lot wider.
Parade is tiny.
And so to see it come back to Disneyland as an evening parade with, if they could make some changes like what they've done with Dream Lights out in Tokyo.
Yeah, if they make it a new parade, I'm all for that.
But I mean, I could see how if somebody, I mean, these are just rumors. So to me, this means somebody saw some image somewhere at some point wandering around, you know, and they've decided to share it with the internet if it has any validity. And so I could see where someone would see that and think, oh, they're bringing back the Main Street Electrical Parade, but yet it would be bigger, grander, stronger, you know, that kind of thing. So
and
I'd be all for that.
Faster than ever before.
Because
it
I think
cost
that
a lot more than $6 million.
I think that the base of the Main Street Electrical Parade, I think it works. I think it still works. Spectrum Magic and the crowds that Spectrum Magic pulls here, to me, are an example of that because there's not that broad of a difference between what the floats are in one and what the floats are in the other.
But I think Spectral Magic is—it's. I mean, you could put it could be any nighttime light parade, and people would
exactly
because it's a different guest base.
Well, and I guess what I'm saying is when they moved away from the lit up floats, I think that that was a mistake.
Agree.
I'm good with this on two. There are one of two things that could happen that would make me happy with MSEP going back to Disneyland. One, they changed it enough to where they actually give it a new name, like they do with Dreamlight. Very similar, but enough of a change that they had to actually give it a new name. Or two, we really are sending it away this time. We're bringing it back for one final glowing away year. Maybe give away light bulbs or something, you know, market it, open up the trash area behind Main Street.
And then they get the Mythbusters to blow the floats up.
If we could... Question. Was 1996 turning the Main Street Electric Parade glowing away into an event when Disney realized they could bring in bazillion people into the park without actually building something new?
Yes. In fact, Paul Presso was very proud. And I'm not saying this because I hate Paul Presso, but it was documented that he said it was great. We were able to turn a one new attraction into a two-year promotion with Light Magic.
Now I mean, do that with no new attraction.
Right. Well, I think so, but I think they also learned the lesson the hard way in that if it's going to glow away, what you replace it with better dang well be better.
And also, you don't bring it back even if you fail?
No, I don't think – I disagree. I don't think that bringing back Electrical Parade to California Adventure was an awful thing. I don't think
– But, I mean, you know, it's kind of false advertising.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to me it's like, you know, how many going-away concerts has Barbara Streisand had
exactly.
or, you know, Cher or any of those
it
other people that
seem to do that
every
it's not
year.
Unheard of.
What's sad is that
and you just know how well-liked Barbara Streisand is.
She has her fans.
She's beloved.
What's sad to me is that they brought it back to DCA to try to, not because by popular demand or, you know, the fans really missed it, but because the park was not doing well and they tried to bring in something to make it do well. And it didn't really, best as I could, help all that much. And now it just seems like
pathetic. It helped in that it made people stay longer, which was important. I don't think anyone looks at that as a complete bust. It might not have been I hope. No one with half a brain, and there are plenty of people at Disneyland that don't have a half a brain, and there's plenty of people that have two brains. But I don't think they looked at it as this is going to be the DCA fixer. They were looking at it as people are leaving at 4 o'clock. We need to do something. It helped that, and more power to them.
And it probably made some people who weren't willing to give the park a try at all come over and give the park a try.
It's sad to me, and I'm no huge fan of MSEP, I am a fan of DCA, but it's just sad to me that to help keep people at what it turns out to be a bad park for a few extra hours.
They have to bring
they
back,
back
their,
the iconic Disneyland nighttime experience.
I mean, I agree that there are probably better options, as including a, basically including a great nighttime show in the original plans was probably the, what they should have done. But I don't agree with the sentiment that it's the worst thing that they did in the I mean, I Playmosphere to me was a much worse invention than.
Did you see Minnie Ear?
Minnie Earhart. I saw Chugga 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 a few times, and
I love Chugga Chugga.
And the worst one was Mickey's Garden, and
didn't that one play the longest?
Yeah,
yeah it did.
And so I
very popular with the little
and don't
ones.
Forget Max Joins the Feet. So that's where I kind of stand on it. I mean, it's not a black and white thing.
Right.
Who brought black and
It's not good or bad. It's just. It might be okay.
So rumor number two, he says Spectro is moving from Magic Kingdom to either Paris or California Adventure. Now, let's not even talk about whether the validity of the rumor. Let's talk about which one of those would you rather see it go to. If the rumor is correct that it is indeed moving from Magic Kingdom, where would you prefer it go? Would you prefer
Across
it go to Paris?
The pond.
Yeah.
Me, I prefer it go to California Adventure because that would mean Electrical Parade is leaving California Adventure. And
yeah, at the same time, it would be kind of like doing the same thing. It's like, okay, we'll just steal another Parks Parade.
Yeah, but that's okay.
But you know they're going to do – there has to be some nighttime show there until Wonderful World of Color premieres or World of Color, whatever
then
it's called.
Keep right. Main Street Electrical Parade for another
– And would you – and since the rumor here is that Fantillusion, therefore, is coming to Magic Kingdom – do you think just an out-and-out swap works, or do you think it's better to send Spectro one way and then take in
the swap or the three-man weave?
Yeah, I mean, which do you think plays better to your market?
I think it comes off better to not just do a straight swap, not say, look at these two parks. All right, here's an easy way to give them something fresh. Let's just switch stuff.
And I think that if they do give Spectro Magic to DCA and Electrical Parade comes to Walt Disney World, I think.
No, Electrical Parade, according to this rumor, is going back to Disneyland.
Make sure they're moving to Disneyland's Magic. Okay. And, well, then what does Magic Kingdom get?
Fantillusion from Disneyland Paris.
Okay, well, then I believe that Disneyland would actually get the first pick in next year's parade draft, as well as a supplemental pick.
And Atmosphere to be named later.
Yeah. I think that's actually how they ended up with the indie entertainment that no other park seems to get.
But to answer his question of do we know of any parade shifting, we have heard for quite a while now rumors that Disney's Parade of Dreams is coming here from California, is coming to Walt Disney World. That's been a rumor for a long time. I haven't heard it.
About 12 years, I'd say.
Well, no, stop. I haven't heard it recently. We heard it, let's see, it would have been right around the time that the of Halloween last year, so last fall, which typically you hear a lot of rumors sprout around that season of the year because Disney's fiscal calendar begins in October, and so that's when the coffers are ripe with flush with funds, and so blue sky and grand ideas start to develop, and people have more money in their pockets, and as far as throughout the company. So I haven't heard any more about it since then. But we were hearing those kind of rumors back then.
And there you have it, Captain.
Well, last time I was talking about Star Tours, if I recall correctly.
I found this guy online who modded his stroller with like foam core and stuff, so it looks like an AT-AT. When he's pushing it, it looks like an AT-AT.
He did it
for a Star Wars convention so that he could be pushing his baby around. It's so fun. It was cool.
It's really cool when people like fling these wires and trip the stroller.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
Is it really cold?
Stay on target.
The question was, Star Tours replaced an attraction, and what icon from that attraction is still in the ride?
George Lucas.
anybody here?
The mighty microscope.
The mighty microscope.
Magnification.
And Utah Josh is the winner, so
hooray!
Yay.
Way to go, Utah. And congratulations on your nuptials and your honeymoon and your return to, where do you live again? Utah, I'm guessing.
Good guess.
And yeah, that one question wasn't enough for you, though, last week, Captain.
Yeah, what was with the frivolous stupidity?
The frivolous stupidity was Well, Indiana Jones, you know, has a assistant in his new film. His name is Mac.
And cheese.
No, just plain old Mac.
Sam.
Just plain old Mac. And Captain Jack Sparrow, in front of his pirate tutorial, also has an assistant named Mac.
And no, Mac.
Just plain Mac.
Oh, and that was the coincidence.
And
what's
the point of Mac without cheese?
That was just the coincidence. What is the point of Mac without cheese? I really don't know.
It's only worth it if it's the blue box.
So BigBrianNC.com got that right. Congratulations.
Yay, Brian.
Big Brian.
He's the tremendous author of that wonderful little ditty, isn't he?
I believe he is.
Oh, man, that was awesome. That pops in my head every now and then. It's kind of disturbing.
Kind of whenever a Wally commercial comes out.
See, every time a Nim's Island commercial comes on, it comes out of my head.
So time I'm just going to go for I'm just going to go off topic. In Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
That's the first one?
That is the first one.
Yes. You had to think about that one, didn't you, Debbie?
I actually guessed.
If it makes you feel better, just think of it as Pirates of the Caribbean, the motion picture.
That helps.
Captain Jack Sparrow makes his infamous, you know, introduction into the film, his grand entrance on a small little boat. What is the name of the boat?
The Wicked Winch.
No. That would be the name of the Black Pearl after Davy Jones brought it back.
The Congo Queen.
Because, you know, the Black Pearl was originally the Wicked Wench, and then Davy Jones brought it back up from the depths. And
Aurora.
Boat number 14. It's a small world.
Oh, boat number 14.
I was just about to go number 16.
What are you talking about now?
We went through different ride
boats. I got
boats.
The Aurora reference. I got the Congo Queen reference. I was lost on the number. That's sad, though, because it's just a fact that they don't name the boats. By the way, if you know what ride that the Aurora reference was, I'd give you a bonus point for
might
that.
Might I say, you may hate me for this. You may consider me a...
Oh, here we go.
A chauvinist, a backwards
plug your ears.
Thinking,
this is embarrassing.
Stuck in the 1900s, but the day they added men... to the Storybook Canal boats is the day they added men to the Storybook. It
you
was
mean,
a terrible
you,
day.
You mean when they added, like, Mr. Toad? Or
No. When they had men narrating. Male narrating. Female engineers on the train? Nothing wrong with that. I got no problem with that. Males in knee highs doing a narration on Storybook Land? Never should have happened. That's all I got to say. Captain, what's next? Stump the Crew.
Stump the Crew.
Also known as STC.
Do we have a theme song for you this week?
Not yet.
No. The Star Tours Diddy by U2 was my theme this week. Okay. All right, Stump One.
These are from Magical 214.
All right, what game show in about 2005/2006 on ABC starred William Shatner as host of a very not popular game show trying to copy Deal or No Deal?
Show me the money. Let's dance.
Oh, yeah, now I remember.
Didn't last too long, but it was quality entertainment.
No, it was not. Oh, man, that was horrible. Okay.
But we loved it. No, we didn't even watch. We watched a couple of them, but we didn't watch them very often.
Number two.
All right, stump number two. What color shirt and print does the audience member / stunt person wear in Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular? It is hot pink with white, like, flowers and pompies.
It's a Hawaiian print shirt. I know that much. I remember having Dayglo orange as well.
It's like Dayglo pink.
Dayglo
pink. Like that clipboard that's in front of me.
Doobie's clipboard, we might point out.
I know, it's kind of pink. It's kind of slanted one way because he's on one leg trying to...
Like Dayglo.
Stump number three. Which character did they take away from the Song of the South movie for Splash Mountain, and who did they replace him with?
Bobby Driscoll.
The Goose from Star Tours.
I don't understand this question.
Which character?
They got rid of Bobby Driscoll and they had a little drunk bird off on the side.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh,
sorry. You can't make Bobby Driscoll drugs jokes, and what can you do?
No.
How about Uncle Remus and Brer Fogg?
Brer Fogg?
Any relation to Bog?
It was the one in that Stephen King movie that kept saying, "You can't run away from trouble. There ain't no place that far." And then they keep running and they find U.S. Marshals.
I am kind of confused by this question.
No,
which character did they take?
Wait. The question.
Which character did they take away from the Song of the South movie for Splash Mountain?
I'm guessing there's a character in Splash Mountain.
And who did they replace him with?
Yeah, they're the character in the movie
Song of the South
when they. made Splash Mountain, they took a character away and replaced him with Gopher.
Because he's not in the movie, you know. Or, wait. No, I still say it's Uncle Remus, and they replaced him with Br'er Frog.
Okay, that's we don't know. These are questions from the readers.
No. Did they send us answers?
Yeah.
Well,
I looked them up, Fanboy is going to amuse you with his witty repartee.
Actually, I was going to talk about Monsters, Inc. Laugh War. I did it again. And it was different again for me. But apparently that's because I had only experienced choice B, in essence, of the mac and cheese element. Because
they know funny.
That's true. Because Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor is, you know, a stage show of sorts in, you know, with the TV, whatever.
a stage show without a stage.
Yeah, pretty much. And without a show. Oh, wait. And Sam and Ella, or Mac and Cheese, the two-headed monster.
See, there they have cheese. Unlike Sparrow can't afford cheese, and Indiana Jones can't afford cheese.
Sometimes they tell a story about where you live, and they sing a little ditty, and they talk about how, you know, Eiffel Towers, and it's very cute. But this time, they actually retold the story of Monsters, Inc., incorporating the audience into the story. So when they would talk about Mike Wazowski, they would show this guy in the audience, and they would talk about how he had only one eye. And so the guy in the audience, this guy winked. So he had, like, it was cool. And so he only had one eye. It was cool. And then the Sully guy in the audience, he didn't want to do anything. They kept trying to make him make, like, a monster face, but he wouldn't do it. And then they, you know, talked about Randall, who can be invisible. And so the guy slunk down in his chair. And it was funny because Mac and Cheese replied, "Oh, hey, he gets it." So I'm guessing that earlier in the day, maybe when they selected Randall out of the audience, the guest just kind of sat there mindlessly, not knowing what to do. And then they picked a little girl, and there's Boo. Oh, no, I'm sorry. What they said was, "And there," and they had a pregnant pause, and so impatient people in the audience yelled out, "Boo! Boo!" To which Salmonella said, "Why are they booing us?" It was very funny.
When I saw that skit, one of their cameras stopped working, so Boo was like some like 6-year-old man.
And 6-year-old man?
60-year-old man.
And that's funny. That guy really got into it. He was very, very, he and his whole family. It looked like a grandpa who was there with like, you know, 18 of his closest family members. They were just having so much fun with every time they, you know, talk about that guy. So it was awesome. It was fun. That show gets better and better.
Okay.
I have answers.
Let's get answers from this guy.
Thank you for the introduction, Captain.
I try.
The game show, William Shatner, was Show Me the Money. You all knew that.
Ding,
show
ding,
me
ding,
the
ding,
money.
Ding,
the ding. Shirt, according to Magic 021 Floor, is pink and floral.
Ding, 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 ding.
And the answer to number 3 regarding character out of Splash Mountain movie and what it was replaced with? Uncle Remus and replaced with Br'er Frog.
Whoa.
Not
Br'er Frog, like somebody said.
It's okay. It goes along with Bog Iger.
Bog Iger.
Hey, I did that on purpose.
Yeah, sure you did.
Not really. Thank you. Once again, we love to get your Stump the Crew questions. Send them to us at podcastlandplace.com. Please separate the questions and answers into separate email. If you have multiple questions, please make sure you at least put all the answers in separate emails so I can't cheat as I get this together every Thursday.
It's more fun when we can all play.
Yeah, it is, even though I got none of them right. Fanboy, do you have a song for him?
Nah.
Nothing?
It's catchy, isn't it?
Sometimes the oldies are the goodies.
The oldies are the goodies, yeah. Or maybe this one. Or maybe not, as the case may be. Nope.
Yeah, we don't want to get too professional anyway.
Can today's myth be that Stephen A. Smith has talent?
Do you have a lie for us today?
A
lie?
That's my shorthand for the Fanboy Disney myth. You're going to reveal a lie and tell us the truth.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, I'm on your side, Fanboy.
Mythbuster.
Thanks. Word up, yo.
Yo, you my bro.
Yeah, really? Remember when we were at Tony Orlando?
I do. Wow, what a week we had.
If you know us in real life, ask us for that. In the spirit of Universal's, combustion, fire?
914.
Uh-huh. 904. Signal 25.
2319.
We were talking about the Smithy Bridge, and they were talking about how that was filmed in a movie called Descent, directed by Alan Smithy. It was actually not
No.
Used there. No, it was just built for the theme park. However, it was used in episodes of Quantum Leap and the $6 million Man. And it was made from a special kind of wood.
What kind was that?
Hollywood.
You know, there is a movie called The Descent now.
Yes. Filmed long after.
Yes, and takes place underwater. There's no bridges in it.
If I ever made a movie...
Unless the bridge collapsed and it's, you know, down there.
Do you know that the Directors Guild of America no longer uses Alan Smithy?
Really?
Yeah. Because they made a movie called, like, the Alan Smithy movie, where they made fun of Alan Smithy movies, and then it became too known. So they... Now, are you able
so
to...
Wait, so you're telling me that they really just made that bridge to be an attraction on the tour?
Yes.
That it wasn't a movie prop that then became part of the tour?
Correct.
Wow.
It was a part of the tour that became a movie prop.
I had no idea.
Or at least a TV prop.
I had no idea.
Really?
I really thought all these years, I thought that actually that was a movie prop.
I'm going to blow your mind now. Battlestar Galactica?
Shut up. Don't say anything about Battlestar Galactica.
Twiggy was not...
Okay, you know what? Battlestar Galactica, Twiggy, nope. Nope, there's no Twiggy in Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, I beg to differ. I think beady.
Okay. Oh, you're so frustrating when it comes to sci-fi.
Yeah, so... But did you know that Alan Smithy was used from 1968 to till 2000s? And he had the most prolific career as a director.
Prolific yet horrible.
Yeah.
It's been a busy week for us. We've been to the parks a lot.
We did. What did we do since our last podcast? We saw Tony Orlando.
We enjoyed Tokyo Dining.
Went to Tokyo Dining. We went to say goodbye to the Concord Steakhouse.
So long. Farewell. That was fun.
Avidas and good night. Adieu to you.
The Concord Steakhouse has always been such an enigma. The Concord Steakhouse, because it's like, it's fine dining, but yet not in a fine dining atmosphere.
Like Paradise PCH Grill.
No, because you have the filet that you had, Fanboy. I mean, that was a beautiful looking filet. It looked really tasty.
It was tasty.
A nice cut.
It was cut.
But partway through our meal, you know, you have, okay, Mickey, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like, you know,
you just turn that whole thing into Goofy's Kitchen or
Chef Mickey's,
as the case may be.
Yeah, so it's just kind of interesting.
What
that
about the
finally,
rumbling every 5 minutes?
Yeah, that too. It was
you do a nice little
one
massage.
Of those odd things. I loved it for breakfast and lunch, but whenever we were like, oh honey, let's go out for dinner.
Well, what was
Concord
the name of the
Steakhouse? Wasn't the one that? Oh yeah, let's go for
a
romantic dinner.
Wasn't it the Mickey Mouse, the Sticky Mickey, wasn't it?
The Sticky Bun in the morning. Oh yeah, Sticky. I don't know what they're gonna get.
Yeah.
But they're opening the Wave now. They closed Concord Steakhouse, and they're opening the Wave, and that is in what used to be the Family Fun Center.
Is the arcade going to still be down there?
No, they moved the arcade. Did you not see the Flavor of the Month Stitch I won for your lovely wife?
Yeah, I got a yellow banana Flavor of the Month Stitch.
And Happy enjoyed it very much.
Nuh-uh, Happy. The dog, I mean,
I don't care.
Happy doesn't get my Stitch.
Happy, Rebecca.
No, the Stitch goes on the shelf.
Does it smell like bananas?
No, it's
banana
just,
who?
It's bright yellow.
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana again?
But the arcade has moved up to the concourse.
Yeah,
not lemon. You're glad you're.
And it's not as big, right?
No, there's nothing as big as that old food and fun.
And so, and they don't have like ticket retrieval.
No, they do.
They
well,
do
that's
they?
How I won your.
Oh really? Oh okay. I thought it was one of those pull it out of the with the claw things.
No, no.
Okay.
I had to get the ball inside, stay inside the green zone, not go in the red zone to win 100 tickets. A
very
lot of
good.
Times.
Very
I was good,
good
at that game. I broke the house.
You found your niche. You broke the house. How many times did you play it?
I don't want to know.
I played it. Let's see. I got enough tickets. I got a lot of stuff. But to win that Stitch, I had to play it 4 times.
Oh, that's
what,
not
like
so
a
bad.
Buck a time?
It's 25 credits. It was 600 credits for $10.
Never mind.
Yeah, so you guys do the math.
Avogadro.
So, yeah.
Tony Orlando, how good was he?
Tony Orlando's phenomenal.
Did he put on the best show? He got this old couple. They were like 60 years married on stage.
Yep.
So he could, with the help of the husband, they kind of sang, "You Are So Beautiful." Now, he wasn't he wasn't following along perfectly. I remember
but it was beautiful.
He set it up for the guy at the end to say, "To me," and give him the mic, and he starts singing, "You Are So Beautiful." And you know what? The crowd loved it.
It was
awesome to see.
It was quite lovely.
He gets audience members up there, some of them who kind of volunteer themselves. And
yep, to dance along with him on stage.
He plays along perfectly fine, gets little kids up there. He puts on an awesome show. So, Tony, I love you, brother.
It was terrific.
He lost a lot of weight.
And then we, after Tony, we went to Tokyo Dining.
It was our tea
which
night.
Is the sit-down location that's not where they cook the food right in front of you.
Volcano!
So, it was a lot of fun.
Rainforest Cafe?
That's what Captain Jack said. I mean, Captain John, when we were talking about going, he was like, they still do all that fun, fancy stuff. They just do it backstage. So, that's the more fun kitchen.
Yep.
But,
I can just imagine all these people backstage working and then suddenly, like, tossing some food up and catching it in their hat.
Kind of the egg on the side of the scratch. That's awesome.
But I found the food portions were quite good as far as the meat aspect of my meal went. But I thought that I could have used more vegetables for the price that it was.
Well,
but
I had plenty of vegetables on my dish.
And my vegetables were you had the vegetarian option, honey. And my vegetables were actually a little cold, whereas fanboys weren't.
They were warm.
Yeah, you didn't have.
How
that
was your sushi?
My sushi was so good.
How good was it?
That it got me loving sushi. That I've had sushi three times this week just because the afterburn from that experience.
Your enjoyment of the sushi made me actually get sushi this week.
That's so
Seriously?
Funny.
Oh,
sushi's
that's
contagious.
Really
it's like
funny.
Yawning.
Yeah.
But see, you don't put wasabi.
Which many of you are probably doing at home right now.
But see, you don't put wasabi on sushi.
No, wasabi.
I do. I love
that's the only reason to eat sushi for me, so that
I
can put
wasabi
on it.
The vegetable tempura, which was awesome.
Yams.
And then
all sorts of good stuff.
For dessert,
yams or sweet potatoes?
For dessert, I had the Noe Jose, which they do exactly like Beaches and Cream.
Because we were at Beaches and Cream.
That's the nice thing about eating at Epcot is it's a short walk over to have a nice dessert at a...
And if you time it right and you leave Epcot during Illuminations so that you arrive at Beaches and Cream before Illuminations is done... Not so crowded.
Not so crowded at all. If you're 10 minutes later than that...
And you get to watch fireworks while you're walking there.
You do.
Yeah, and because Beaches and Cream is one of the locations on property that we love, and it's a destination location as far as we're concerned, but it doesn't take reservations or priority seatings or anything. You have to show up and wait.
And they don't take American Express.
Yeah, they do.
Except they do.
Yeah. We need to get a kitchen sink. It's been a while.
Yep. Captain Friday. Podcast at LastPlace.com. 866-718-9408. We have nothing on the agenda now, so just write us about whatever you want. Before we sign off today, I'm going to ask, let me think, these guys for a final word of wisdom or stupidity, depending on the mood they're in. Let's start with wisdom this week with Captain John.
A penny saved is a penny earned.
Wow.
Was that enough wisdom for
you? Are you listening, WDI?
I hear fear of pirates is the beginning of wisdom.
Fear is a pirate's, best weapon.
And that sword you got on the way.
Oh, that's right. You have something coming from Master Replica.
Master Replica's Jack Sparrow Cutlass.
Oh, and what did
is that
you...
a car?
Yeah.
Like Oldsmobile?
Exactly.
And you need to talk about what you showed off to Doobie and I last week at your place.
The cow.
Yeah, I'm doing a couple additions to my pirate getup, and it requires me. I'm going to be making a leather hat, but the only thing the leather store had was pretty much like
half a cow.
Half a cow, pretty much. So I unrolled this thing, and it's like you could still see the shape of the cow.
Yeah, you can see there's one leg, there's another leg,
there's the udder leg, there's the udder leg.
How many udders does it have?
So once
you've got the cow going and you've got your sword, I'm looking forward to seeing what the captain's looking like.
Yeah.
How about
Pretty
you,
amazing costume.
Rebecca Mosley?
What am I doing? Oh, I am going to... we had so much fun this week because we got to go to Disney World with little kids.
Oh, little kids.
And since we don't have little kids of our own, we were able to go... Well, he doesn't really count. We were able to go with a family visiting from, I think it was Wisconsin.
Chicago.
No, Wisconsin.
What, Chicago?
No.
Does it really matter?
Yes.
No.
Exactly.
I'm sure you're right, but I thought it was Chicago.
Or maybe Minnesota. Somewhere cold.
Chicago?
No, it wasn't.
Alaska?
Huff?
Iceland?
I know it wasn't Chicago. They're actually friends of ours from Ohio. They're actually the
Mama
family.
Mama Melrose?
They're family of friends of ours from Ohio, so we know the in-between, the family friend kind of thing. But they were traveling with a 3-year-old and who's almost 4 and an 8-week-old. And I haven't been
almost 9 weeks.
And I haven't been to a theme park with a baby in a long time. And so I'd forgotten how different it is in that, when you're talking about having to go to the bathroom to change the baby, you're kind of running through your mind. Okay, which ones have the better changing table, like where you don't feel like you're in the way of everybody versus the other ones? It's just
change them on the ride like everybody else.
Ew. It's just, you know, it's a
very different... That's happened way too many times.
Oh, it's a very, very different kind of experience. And then we ended up in the rain, which for all of us adults wasn't such a big deal, but the baby wasn't very happy about the rain. But, you know, it was fun. We had a great time. And overall, I mean, everybody, overall, baby and everybody seemed to be really enjoying themselves. And it was just a fun, different perspective. When we went to the Lion King, the little girl... the three-year-old, well, almost four, wanted to sit in my lap. And so, but then when the fire dance part came, she ran back over and sat in mom's lap during that sequence. It reminded me of another little friend that we used to take. And he, when that part would start, he would tell me, this is the spooky part.
I never said that.
And this is his way. This was his way of letting me know it was scary, but not so scary that he wanted to leave. Because there was a difference between spooky and scary. So, yeah, so it was just a lot of fun. But before I go, I wanted to read to you guys. Once again, I will bring you a thought from Walt Disney. The American child is a highly intelligent human being, characteristically sensitive, humorous, open-minded, eager to learn, and has a strong sense of excitement, energy, and healthy curiosity about the world in which he lives. Lucky, indeed, is the grown-up who manages to carry these same characteristics over into his adult life. It usually makes for a happy and successful individual. And I thought that this kind of was how I felt hanging out with the kids this week, because, like I say, it kind of was refreshing to... see the park through the kids' eyes, and also to see mom and dad, really, because this was the family's first trip to the park. And so to see kind of dad, just when his daughter was pointing out the animals that she was spotting on the Kilimanjaro Safari, and just his pride and his joy in seeing her discover these animals, you know. And now she will, you know, have a unique place in her heart for these animals. She's seen them. So it was just a lot of fun. So I thought I'd share.
It's all a part of the circle of life.
Yeah.
And a penny safe is a penny hard.
Ben,
he's watching cartoons.
I just got to say, summertime's a great time to be a Disney fan. The parks are open late. There's a lot of fun things going on at the park. This summer, we have WALL-E coming out, Camp Rock on the Disney Channel.
We rock.
Cheetah Girls One World coming out. I know, you can't wait.
We rock.
So to celebrate all of this, Disney.com has a summer splash page, I guess, and they feature some classic summer-related cartoons.
Like
I'm watching right now, The Grasshopper and the Ants.
I think summer when I hear that.
Yeah, because the world owes me a living. Dido-dido-dido-dido-dum.
How is that a summer cartoon? Isn't that one about stocking up for the winter?
During the summer.
Yeah, makes sense. What else, fanboy?
It's a multi-season.
Donald's Vacation.
Of course, summer vacation.
I get that.
What else?
And The Goddess of Spring.
Two out of three, not bad.
Okay, I see.
So, there's great Disney summer-related cartoons out there. I'm not quite sure why they picked The Goddess of Spring on their Summer Splash page, or it'd be Summer Splash 2 squared page, I'm not sure. Disney Internet Group just went through a major reorganization.
I did see that.
Disney Interactive Studios will be part of the Disney Internet Group. I'm not quite sure if that means they're no longer part of consumer products or not, but it's a big shift.
Is that a big shift? I saw that and I wasn't sure how big a deal it was.
Well, I think it's the video game, having video games under consumer products to me says that you are trying to capitalize on Disney franchises through video games. So, you know, like you have the video game and you'll have the little toy action figure and you'll have the bedding decor and birthday party supplies. But when it's under Interactive, it seems to me like it's becoming its own creative engine, in that it might obviously take Disney brands and utilize it, but it's saying it's more of a creative force than a merchandise source. It is merchandise, but it's not in the same venue as toys and apparel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As Rebecca said, we did get to spend some time in the parks this week. Got to go see the Fort Wilderness Cabin for the first time, because that's where the friends she mentioned were staying. Boy, that thing is tiny. Tinier than I expected.
Any other, you know. So it's tiny? Yeah.
It's nice. I mean,
It's not tiny.
I shouldn't say it's tiny. It's smaller than I expected it to be. And it's just my fault. I was expecting a...
For the word cabin, you know, kind of seems
expecting like a one-bedroom villa, like a DVC villa, one bedroom, and it's not. I'm guessing it's more like a studio size.
But you get a Murphy bed.
Which we're looking forward to going there sometime with Fanboy, because somebody's getting shoved in the Murphy bed.
You betcha.
That's got to be awesome.
You know, somebody's going to push him up.
He's got to be sleeping vertically that night. That's going to be awesome. But it is nice
because in the wall.
It's secluded. I mean, you know, you've got your own cabin and there's no one for another, you know, 15 feet or whatever. So that's pretty nice.
And the raccoons come.
I saw a possum. When you're out there at night, it's dark. You're in the woods. It's cool.
You know, that's what happens when it, you know, becomes nighttime.
There's not like a bunch of light or anything.
That's also where Jay and Jack of the Jay and Jack Lost podcast, that's where they stayed.
Yep.
When they were
so that must be
kind
of like a lost experience, you know, you're kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Actually, when I got off the bus at 9 o'clock trying to find this cabin, it was a lost experience.
Did you hear whispers?
No, like, but I got
you
lost.
Have to take the Orange Settlement bus.
But the Fort Wilderness location can be really great for multiple families that are sharing a single, you know, a single place because of the price point. And breaking down the cost between the families and the kind of privacy that you can have, because you do have a bedroom and then the living room. So, and you have a kitchenette in there with a small stove, refrigerator, sink. So it can work out nicely, which is exactly what was happening in this case. It was two families. So it worked out well.
Got to ride around in one of those little Fort Wilderness electric vehicles for the first time. That was fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
And it just reminded me how much I really like Fort Wilderness. It's kind of a pain because you have to take the buses, but that's what I like about it. You mm-hmm. go there, you park, and then you're at this little resort within a resort where you have the little bus system and you have the places where you stay and you have the places where the fun is and there's, you know, or the other place where the fun is, the movie place. So,
well, if you're a family that maybe has a few family members who aren't like Disney-files and so you're worried about over-Disneying them, this is the place I would recommend, because once you get to your cabin, it's only as Disney as you make it. If you want to have the Disney TV on and whatever, you know, you've got it. But if not, you walk outside, and I mean, and it's nature. You're not having the Disney soundtrack playing or whatnot. And then throughout the day, they have soccer and water sports and what else? All kinds of like outdoor activities they have the Disney magic, but they aren't quite as, you know.
And there are people that come and stay there for weeks and weeks.
I really
want to
go check out the Mickey's Barbecue. We've never done it, but they have live
backyard BBQ.
They have a live band that plays, and the characters mix and mingle. They don't like tour your tables like they do at a typical character dining. But yeah, so that sounds like fun. And it's in an outdoor location that's covered, just there by Pioneer Hall, which I've not been to. So we need to check that out.
Hall.
Well, no, the covered location.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I saw it last
They
time
actually
I
have
over
a
there.
Special Thanksgiving meal out there with the turkey and the fixins and whatnot.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
the
shoot
live band.
Yourself at Circle
no,
D.
No. No, shoot your own turkey.
I wonder if they're doing that again this year.
Oh, stop.
No, the turkey saving pardon thing.
Oh. I can't imagine they wouldn't.
Yeah. I hear they're just going to get the DVD for Prince Caspian. Pardon it.
Oh, that's harsh.
I went there.
It could be Universal movie.
Maybe they'll send the turkey to like Paris.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Podcast. Podcast at laughingplace.com. 866-718-9408. Or leave a message
at the laughingplace.com discussion boards.
And until next week, ho, ho, ho.
Was that Jabba the Hutt or King Kong?